Trilokim, the three planetary systems. Devayanena, by the transcendental airplane. Saha, Dhruva. Ativrajya, having surpassed. Munin, great sages. Api, even. Parasta, beyond. Yet, which, Dhruvagati, Dhruva, who attained permanent life. Vishnu, of Lord Vishnu. Padam, abode. Ata, then. Abhyagga, achieved. Translation. Dhruva Maharaj thus surpass the seven planetary systems of the three great sages, who are known as Saptarishi. Beyond that region, he achieved the transcendental situation, a permanent life in the planet where Lord Vishnu lives. Please repeat. Vibhra Maharaj thus surpassed the seven planetary systems of the great sages, who are known as Saptarishi. Beyond that region, he achieved the transcendental situation of permanent life in the planet where Lord Vishnu lives. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. The airplane was piloted by two chief associates of Lord Vishnu, namely Sunanda and Nanda. Only such spiritual astronauts can pilot their plane beyond the seven planets and arrive in the region of eternal blissful life. It is confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita also, that beyond this planetary system begins the spiritual sky, where everything is permanent and blissful. The planets there are known as Vishnuloka or Vaikunthaloka. Only there can one get an eternal blissful life of knowledge. Below Vaikunthaloka is the material universe. Lord Brahma and others in Brahmaloka can live until the annihilation of this universe. But that life is not permanent. That's also confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita, Abrahma Bhuvanaloka. Even if one goes to the topmost planet, one cannot achieve eternal life. Only by arriving in Vaikunthaloka can one live an eternally blissful life. Giganatamananda Shaganandana Salakya Chakshwan Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurve Namah Sri Chaitanya Manogishtam Stakatam Yena Bhutale Swam Rupakadamayam Dadati Swamadamikam Namam Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swamini Dinamane Namaste Sarasvati Deve Gaurvani Vacharane Nivashesha Shunyavadi Pashtati Vishatarne Vanchakopatru Vyascha Vipasindu Vivacha Padikanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Vidadhar Shivasadi Gaurabhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama Born in the darkness of ignorance, my spiritual master most mercifully is opening up my eyes, darkened blind eyes, by the torch knot of this transcendental knowledge. I fall down at his lotus feet and offer my respectful obeisances. I also offer my obeisances to my senior god brothers and sisters and all these simple Vaishnavas. Also, for those friends and family who are watching, I send my affectionate Hari Bols, and as we say on the postcards, wish you were here. Dhruva Maharaj thus surpassed the seven planetary systems of the great sages who are known as Saptarishi. Beyond that region, he achieved the transcendental situation of permanent life in the planet where Lord Vishnu lives. So in this verse and purport, the purport specifically, we're getting to hear about the material worlds and the spiritual worlds. If someone has no understanding or has not been introduced to Krishna consciousness, then there needs to be a little bit of a foundation laid out so that we can understand what you're talking about. Material worlds, spiritual worlds. Srila Prabhupada, in so many classes, again and again and again, the first thing you would hear when you come into the temple is, you're not that body. Gamapati Prabhu, he told me that in the beginning they would hear Swamiji say, we're not the body. And so it took a little bit of time, but then they came to understand, oh, Swamiji's saying he's not his body. And then I heard someone else say, oh, so I'm not my body? Well, then whose body am I? In this material world, 99.9% of the human beings think they're their body. We hear this all the time. We're not this body. where the eternal spirit soul, the consciousness within the body. And out of thousands, millions of people who try to understand that, hardly one understands, really, realizes the fact of Hambrahmasmi. And out of all those, hardly one understands what the activity, the duty of the spirit soul is. And we've been given all that from day one. Not only are we not this body and spirit soul, but we're eternally the servant of Krishna. And our activity eternally is to lovingly serve him. That's it. And even though we've heard it from day one, how many of us have really gotten it through our thick skulls? We might take a little check on our pulse. For example, it's said that one who understands their spirit soul, they see some of sarveshu bhuteshu, they see everyone equally. Well, how are we viewing everyone? Someone who should serve me? Someone I should step on to get my needs met or my pleasures met? Just disregarding? No, it means that one respects all living beings. Amani namani deva. Not only are we one on the spiritual platform respects all life, not just other humans, but all life. But he doesn't expect any respect in return. Why should I expect any respect? Am I somebody special? Out of the trillions, zillions, whatever numbers come after that, but all the zeros, number of living entities that are there, this one little tiny me, how special am I? It's stated in the scriptures that we, the conscious living entity, are 1/10,000th the tip of a hair. Not very big. So for one who understands that, is it very hard to understand that I'm actually more insignificant than the grass that you step on when walking through the fields on Navadvip Dhamparikram? No. We're so insignificant and we're so limited and helpless. In the bodily concept of life, we think, especially the younger we are, we think we're immortal, that we can conquer the world. That's why they conscript or draft young men into the armies to go fight foolish wars, because they think they'll never die. The older you get and the more pains you start to feel in this body, the more it starts to sink in. Wow, this body isn't the best bargain. I think it's not so intelligent to identify with this body. The body, according to the scriptures and the merciful words and instruction of our spiritual master, is always a source of misery. Always. Right now, sitting on this table, my knees are bothering me. If you stop and take account, there's going to be either some bodily or mental suffering. Or maybe somebody's bugging you. Some other living entity is disturbing you. The mosquitoes are starting to come out in full force. All glories to the Dhamvasis. The pure devotees who know their spirit soul don't even dislike the mosquitoes. I know it sounds extreme, but Vasudeva, the Brahmin who had leprosy, who was completely transcendental to the bodily concept, this body's just a shirt. This shirt's going to be sweaty, stinky, and pretty soon, in a few hours, I'm going to be taking it off. It's a botheration. Vasudeva understood he wasn't the body, his spirit soul, and in his leprosy, he had so many germs and insects feeding on the pus and infection of his leprosy. While chanting Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Some living entity, would insect fall off his body, he'd pick it up, put it back in. Every living entity needs their source of sustenance. If this body can give service to that living entity, Hare Krishna. What vision Prabhupada is offering us? What vision, what knowledge is being given in the scriptures? And it comes not by severe austerities. That's the process of the Gyanis. They think tapasya is where it's at. Giving up everything. And simply toughening it out. No, no, no. Nathan. I'm not this, I'm not that, I'm not this, I'm not that. A humble Brahmasmi. That doesn't get it. That doesn't give Brahman realization. You have to mix in a little bit of worship of the Supreme Lord. At least a little bit. And then if you want that chump change of understanding you're not the body, simply that, then okay, no problem. So be it. But the Vaishnavas understand we don't even want that if there can't be service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And by service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, all these bodily identifications, all the miseries of this body become taken away. Sarvapati Vinirmuktam, Tatparatvaina Nirmalam. Any attachment, identification with this body, it is relieved. We are relieved of it. How? Rishikena, Rishikesha, Sevanam Bhaktuja. Engaging in the service of the Lord. I don't understand, I don't realize I'm spirit soul, but I can use this body in the service of the Lord under the guidance of a self-realized spiritual master. He understands he's not this body. He understands he's the eternal servant of Krishna. And 24/7, he is simply utilizing whatever Krishna gives him, his words, his body, his actions, his mind, his assets, his disciples, anything and everything of this world, in the service of Krishna, for the pleasure of Krishna. So with the scriptural knowledge and the example by the spiritual master, then we can engage this body. As my Prabhu was sharing with me yesterday, Srila Prabhupada said, according to his angle vision, I see everybody as walking dead bodies. Now when I heard that, I thought, ooh, why? Because I identify with my dead body. A Prabhu who doesn't identify with his dead body becomes enlivened, understanding I'm not that dead body. By the grace of Krishna within my heart, he's allowing this body to be mobile, to be engaged in the service of the Lord. How kind my Lord is. How kind my spiritual master is to open up my darkened eyes. Sama Sardeshu Bhuteshu, look at the devotee next to you, to your right. Look at the devotee next to you on your left. Turn around and look at the devotee behind you. Do you see them on the same platform? Do you treat them as you want to be treated? Do you treat them better than you think you should be treated? This philosophy is not just some armchair philosophy. It's not something that we're meant to sit on a big chair and talk about and then maybe get a little Hari Bol. This is dead serious. I heard Prabhupada one time wake up in Vrindavan from his bed. He was buried. The body was practically finished. And he'd been sleeping for some hours. And I happened to be fortunate to be right there when he woke up, rang the bell, had the servant sit him up, and immediately, I've said this before, but I'll say it so many times in this life again and again. He said to Tamal Krishna Maharaj, do you think you want to grow old? Do you want to grow old? Do you think I want to grow old? No, we're forced to grow old. And he began to instruct Maharaj, you should go and share with people. You don't have to grow old. You don't have to die. You're not this body. You're not this mind. Those who are a little bit more advanced in knowledge, they don't identify with the body, but they identify with the workings of the mind so often. What is this mind? It's a rascal middleman. We've given power of attorney to the mind, who is our worst enemy, when it is simply telling us, yeah, okay, so you got kicked when you tried to enjoin that way, but do it this way this time. You'll make it this time. You'll actually achieve your desires. You'll be happy. The mind in bodily consciousness is simply trying, as Prabhupada says in the footnote to a purport in the seventh canto, making plans to keep you and I in this miserable material world. Srila Prabhupada in this purport, he says, to Brahma Bhuvanaloka, that this material world from the highest planet, Brahma Loka to the lowest planet, they're all miserable. Someone was asking me about Hawaii a few days back, because I'd heard it's so nice there. I lived in Hawaii for a number of years, got to do devotional service there. Let me tell you, it's no paradise. Maybe when Srila Prabhupada was here, he made the statement, you cannot enjoy in this material world. But if you could, it might be Hawaii. Those days are long gone. The cool seasonal breezes, they ain't what they used to be, as we say in America, slang language. They're not what they used to be. The sinful reactions are catching up even with paradise. People are suffering. And even when they thought they weren't suffering, it wasn't really a place that I personally wanted to do devotional service if I didn't have service that kept me there. Because the covering potency of this material energy that controls this material world, it deludes us. It deludes the conditioned soul since time immemorial. And, everybody else thinks that they're enjoying. If you ask somebody, how you doing today? Everybody says, just fine. If you get one of these really optimistic people, they'll say, great. It's never been better. Getting better all the time. They put on this smiling monkey face, this pretense, lying right through their teeth. And those who are in bodily consciousness, I don't really care how you are. That's just a social nicety. It's like if somebody asks you, how are you? I've heard somebody retort back, do you really care? I was told by one of my Prabhus in San Diego, he said, in the country I grew up, in the culture of creation, you don't ask somebody how they are. That's private. You should really care. I'm not going to reveal to you how I really am unless I know you and have a relationship with you. Well, we're meant to develop those relationships with each other. That's what spiritual relationships is about. We're meant to try and help each and every one of us serve Krishna nicely. Better, better, harder, more. Go for the bliss. Go for the pleasure that Krishna rains down upon those who want to give him pleasure. And when you see somebody serving better than yourself, that's ecstatic. I'm inspired. Not like bodily consciousness. Man, I'd like to drag him down. Does he think he is better than me? Just wait, I'll get him. No, that's not meant to be in this Krishna consciousness movement. But sometimes we see that, we look like devotees. I mean, check this garment out. I think my tilak's on straight. I look halfway like a devotee. Halfway. But am I really considering myself the servant of you Prabhus? The servant of the servants of Krishna? Or am I a neophyte devotee simply trying to worship Krishna? Jai Radha Madhava. To the exclusion of all the other servants of Krishna. Krishna is not worshipped alone. That's impersonalism. Prabhupada, in the 70s, when we'd see these Brijvasi prints, I'm speaking personally, Krishna in the sky, alone, playing his flute. Prabhupada said, that's impersonalism. Krishna's never alone. He's always surrounded by loving devotees. But the neophyte just wants to focus in on Krishna, or maybe guru. My guru is certainly better than your guru. What's that mean? I'm better than you are. My guru is divine grace, His Holiness so-and-so. Or me. Right place at the right time. My spiritual master is divine grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki. But does that make me better than you? No. Srila Radha Madhava ki. It means I'm very fortunate. But anybody connected with the disciplic succession from Rupa Goswami, from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we are the most fortunate of all the living entities revolving up and down in this Brahmanda, this universe, this material world. When we start to understand these words, when they enter the heart and soften it, humility starts to develop. Arrogance and pride has nothing to do with spiritual realization. Nothing to do. It's like oil and water. It doesn't mix. You can put the oil in the water and just in a little glob. It's there in the water. Contaminated consciousness. That's bodily consciousness. The soul, you and I, are pure by nature. We just have to become filtered. We have to become cleansed by this spiritual process of serving the servants of the Lord. Becoming purified, hopefully one day, of being allowed to enter into this eternal realm where the Lord lives. Now we get into the spiritual world. The spiritual world has unlimited planets. It makes the unlimited universe, is what to speak of the universe of this planet, look like nothing. Just a tiny few of them. Unlimited universes. If you remember on the first three volumes of Srimad Bhagavatam that Prabhupada brought to America to distribute, you remember the picture of all the little universes, the bubbles that were there and had the names of different expansions of Vishnu? Mahapati Prabhu one time told me that he and the devotees, they were looking at this book and they were going, wow, that's a far out Vaikuntha planet right there. Look at that one. We've got to ask Srila Prabhupada which one that is. I'd really like to go there. So they went and looked at, they brought it to Srila Prabhupada and said, this one here, Srila Prabhupada, which Vaikuntha planet is that? That one looks most far out. I'd really like to go there. Srila Prabhupada said, that's the material world. Well, guess what? Our wish was fulfilled. Each and every one of us are rotting in this material world. And now, somehow or other, by causeless mercy, we're being a good opportunity to get out of here. In one birth, Srila Prabhupada said. Sometimes I run into devotees who aren't convinced of that. They doubt that. They think, I never could become so pure to possess Krishna prema that I can be qualified to get out of this material world. Prabhus, pray, beg for Krishna prema. Show your sincerity that you want it. You want it more than the next breath that will come. You want it more than the life of this dead body. We should feel, pray, and think like that. But for the biggest majority of us, it's not going to happen in this life. What to do? Does that mean we're doomed to rotate in the cycle of birth and death? No, take full shelter of the instructions and the shelter of the spiritual master, the Vaishnavas, the scripture. Engage this one life in Krishna consciousness and devotional service. Just this one life, and then by the mercy of the spiritual master and the Vaishnavas, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, one can be picked up. One time in London, in Los Angeles, Srila Prabhupada was giving a lecture. Maharaj, were you at the lecture where Prabhupada was talking about one should be 100% Krishna conscious? And the devotee said, oh my God, I can never. Okay, 90% Krishna conscious? Were you there, Maharaj? Okay, not 90%, 80%? All right, 75% Krishna conscious. You can become 75% Krishna conscious. I'll take you back to God. Haribo! Srila Prabhupada said, I have the key to the back door to the spiritual world. It's not what you know. It's who you know in Krishna consciousness. We want the mercy of the Vaishnavas, of our spiritual master. If we love our spiritual master, we will love his mood and his instructions. We will give this life to him as his menial slave, as his servant. One who's caught that spirit He's given all these gifts. This transcendental realization, who I am, what my purpose in life is. And Srila Prabhupada can take us back to Godhead. We have this verse here, Dhruva Maharaj, such a wonderful example for us. The determination he showed, I'm not going to go into it. When the devotees came for the GBC meetings, and they hadn't been hearing this section of Bhagavatam for many, many, many speakers. They always went through the first part of Dhruva Maharaj's life. We all know the first part of his life. The point is, in 6 months, following the instructions of his spiritual master seriously, fully, he was full of material desires. Artarti, he wanted the kingdom. But he put it on the back shelf and just completely surrendered the instructions of Guru. And that pleased Krishna so much, he revealed himself to Dhruva and gave him love. That example, we can't imitate, but we can sure pray to be able to follow the example of being serious and sincere about Krishna consciousness. And here he is. He got his ticket. You and I have a ticket. He held on to it. Prabhupada is begging, please don't leave. Don't give up this Krishna consciousness. Hold on to your ticket. It's just a matter of time before you get to turn it in and go back to Godhead like Dhruva Maharaj. This is the 1 year anniversary to this day of Gurhila Prabhu leaving his mortal frame behind and going back home, back to Godhead. It was approximately right around this time. That's the philosophy right before our eyes. It's not a game. We are being given the most precious, priceless treasure of devotional service, eternal opportunity to serve Krishna, where you don't have the inebrieties of the material body. It's like those of us who live in the West, sometimes we come to India and we see, man, the material energy just doesn't click smoothly like it does in, for example, America. You want to pull something off in India, you got to work at it. It's the way the material energy works. Similarly, the entire material world is like that. The material body is like that. Not in Vaikuntha. Not in Krishna Loka. Full facility. Full freedom. Full love. An opportunity to serve to your heart's content. Krishna never lets you down. Never. I want to quote this one little one-liner. It's a wonderful sutra that I was told. Srila Prabhupada said that the eternal relationship of servant to Krishna is the most congenial form of intimacy. Srila Prabhupada said these words. And congenial. I'm not the best wordsmith. I looked it up in the dictionary. Chatura wrote the definitions down for me. Listen to the beautiful definitions of this word congenial. And then I'll repeat the sentence again. Congenial means having the same taste or temperament. 2. Friendly. 3. Suited to one's nature or needs. 4. Agreeable. So I'll repeat the sutra. The eternal relationship of service to Krishna is the most congenial form of intimacy. We're looking for intimacy and love in this world. Is anybody truly satisfied in what they've found so far? No. Even amongst devotees, we get let down sometimes. It's the nature of this world. Srila Prabhupada one time said, everybody will let you down except Krishna. Or he said, let me get it correct. Everyone in this world can let you down except Krishna. Krishna will always fulfill your... He has the same taste. We're such an ananda just like he is. He's the best friend. The reciprocation of love. Us serving him, and believe it or not, he's serving us, is suited to our nature and needs. We need this. He's so friendly for every act of devotion that we perform. As Srila Prabhupada said, for every step we take, he takes 10 toward us. As a neophyte aspiring devotee, we don't really comprehend how much Krishna wants our service. He's complete. He's self-satisfied. Yet simultaneously, inconceivably, he yearns to be reunited with us in the spiritual world, where he will reciprocate with us one-on-one in a unique, individual relation unlike anybody else. Sanatana Goswami says that with every living entity, Krishna manifests a specific individual potency to reciprocate lovingly with that individual. There's some definition to the Supreme Personality of Godhead having unlimited potencies. He wants our service. He wants us to be happy. That's why he wants our service. He doesn't need it. He wants it, but it's for our benefit. This is love. Dhruva Maharaj experienced that. He understood it. He offered respect to those who helped him get that love. To his mother, as we heard a couple of days ago. To these two servants of the Lord, eternal servants of the Lord, who are taking him back to his worshipful Lord in the airplane. This is the heart of a devotee, one of gratitude. I heard that a very nice class was given yesterday, and that was one of the big points. Gratitude. Anyone who assists us in Krishna consciousness, how can we repay that? We hear it in regards to the spiritual master. He's picked us up. The debt to him is eternal and can never be repaid. But don't take lightly any assistance or service and association given by the servants and followers of the spiritual masters. Krishna very much appreciates when he sees a loving, affectionate, serving mentality for all of his servants. I said all, not just the devotees, but Tilak. He wants all his living entities to come back. And those who help the spiritual master in that service, they become so dear to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Krishna. What is the difficulty? It is such a simple process we've been given. Chant. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Serve the Vaishnavas and have compassion upon all living entities. Three little things Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asks. That's what he came to give, he and his eternal associates. Simple, but for the insincere, or for the doubtful, or for the materially attached, not easy. Tamal Krishna Maharaj one time said that to Srila Prabhupada. I thought you said this Krishna consciousness was easy. Srila Prabhupada said, I never said that. I said it was simple. What is the difficulty? So Dhruva Maharaj has set the perfect example for us. Srila Prabhupada has set the perfect example for us. Life in general is perfect. Krishna is everywhere. Even when we're getting our slaps and our kicks, even from those you would expect them not to come from, why did that Prabhu do that to me? Why did they treat me that way? Whatever it may be, it's all the perfect arrangement. You either learn directly or indirectly. And we're meant to set the example. Not that we're expecting you to follow and you to measure up. You should be advanced so you can help me and serve me. No, we're meant to set the example. That's what the spiritual master does. That's what the advanced devotees do. We are swimming upstream. Everybody else in this world, they're all going down, down, down. If they don't take up Krishna consciousness, take advantage of the opportunity of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement, Srila Prabhupada's said that one will not give another opportunity for millions of culpas. I sat down and tried figuring that out. That's many, many lifetimes of Lord Brahma, which is inconceivable to us. Many of those lifetimes. Prabhupada's heart, a real devotee, is overflowing with compassion. It is aching with compassion to help those who are suffering, because they know what misery they're in and what misery lies ahead of them if they don't take advantage of this human form of life in devotional service. If we associate with those taking seriously this example and instructions of the spiritual master, it's contagious. If we show the proper mood and determined acts of surrender and service to the spiritual master and Vaishnavas, the blessings come from the spiritual master. And we can measure up to these words, this encouragement. This is not our home. No religious teacher, for that matter, no saint of any tradition says this is our home. The first day I walked up to a Hare Krishna temple, they had a sign on the door that said, "Are you tired of living in the material world? If you're not, these words of mine are just basically wasting your time. Because if you think there's something to be had, I can just kind of finagle it this way, maneuver myself that way. I'll get it this time if you have that hope against hope of becoming happy in this world. You're going to cheat yourself. You'll get what you want by the mercy of the Lord and His external energy. Another body to try it again and again and again. But if you actually are tired, then give this life, this energy, these words, these thoughts, our asset, our relations, everything we possess in the service of Srila Prabhupada, His followers, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu." I want to leave a little bit of time so that some realizations that you want to improve on this class or share anything, questions, etc., I'd be happy to hear. Thank you very much.
Consciousness, but I couldn't think of anything else, so I have nothing to say. Thank you for the complete absorption, the way you presented myself.
Hare Krishna. Don't let the Vaishnavas fool you. We pray to measure up to their high words. Yes, Prabhu.
In the beginning we say, well, I'm not this body. We say we're not this body, but we need a form. Mm-hmm. We need to identify with something to engage ourselves. You know? Yeah. So sometimes they say, "I'm not this material mind," but we can say that we are the spiritual mind. Or can we say that I'm not this body that's not engaged in Krishna's service? But can we say that's the negative? Can we say the positive that I am this body that's engaged in spiritual service?
We're not this body. The body is like the chadar you have on your shoulder. The mind is like the undergarments. But they're, even though they're temporary and full of faults, Prahlad Maharaj says that they're so valuable, so rare, the human form of life, that they can be used in the service of the Lord. Yes, we have a spiritual form. It's unmanifest right now. It's covered. Because we're not accepting the mercy sufficiently for that form to have been manifested within our consciousness. Self-realization leads to God-realization. This is how we can, you know, when I was saying, feel your pulse. If you're chanting Hare Krishna, and we understand the form of the Lord, that sun-like form of the Lord, the effulgent Supreme Personality of Godhead, He illuminates us. You see the Lord, you see yourself. With spiritual vision, not material eyes. Real devotional service begins from the spiritual platform. You know, it's very encouraging when Prabhupada says we're all pure devotees and we can please the Lord. But it's only by the mercy of the spiritual master until we develop the spiritual body by His grace that until that time we aren't able to serve the transcendental adhoksaja, not with our spiritual form. That comes later. The spirit, soul, you and I have a spiritual form that possesses spiritual mind, hands, legs, ears, eyes, nose, etc. Everything is there. This is the shadow of that spiritual form. We just have to have it revealed to us.
I agree with what you're saying. Can we say, because we need some sense, a sense to engage with the sense objects. So can we say that we are the purified senses of the body? Can we say this?
I can say my senses aren't sufficiently purified yet. Yours might be. But I'm in the shower. My senses are becoming purified. That's a great, you know, hope for me, great optimism. I see those who are more purified than me. I simply have to follow their example. I see those who went back to Godhead. I've seen it with my own eyes. I can do that. And that's the whole point. If we don't make the perfection of love for Krishna, then the spiritual master, if we've surrendered to him and pleased him, he can take us where the manifest Leela is. Be born with all the Vrajvasis or the Navadvip Dambasis. When you're surrounded by the eternal associates of the Lord, you catch it real quick. The love will manifest. The mercy is all there. It can be given. We just have to want it sufficiently. We have it. We just have to accept it.
Just now and then, I feel like now, some taste for devotional service. So, and I can let go of my mind and think of something else, something spiritual. So how to understand this 75% rule and what to expect at the time of death?
Did everybody hear the question? He was asking, what does Srila Prabhupada mean by 75% Krishna conscious? And the last part was, what can I expect at the time of death? Well, if you give your best, your everything, just like, if you want to, I'm in sales, but I work half the year. If I set a goal for myself, I know I'm not the doer, but I pray to the Lord. This is the upkeep of my home, my family, and my tickets here, etc. This is basically, I would like to make this much. And if I try so hard, sometimes because I'm trying so hard, Krishna gives more. When you set your bar up high, then if you fall a little short of it, what's the harm? If we try to surrender completely, 100%, because that's what's being asked, 100% surrender. But if we try and fall a little short, that's where we're begging for the mercy, because on our own endeavor, we know our own endeavor isn't sufficient. It's not. We need the mercy. Two things, endeavor and mercy, they have to both be there for perfection. But, the teachings are very promising. Whatever we remember at the time of death, we're going to achieve that. If the holy names are resounding in the ears, forgive me if you think I'm sentimental or a simpleton. But you should you get Krishna. That's what you should expect at the time of death. That's where I was trying to make the point. Look at the devotee next to you. How are you honoring and helping them? We say serving, but use the word help instead of service. Service, it has a bad connotation. I serve my country, I serve my family, say my mother-in-law, or I serve my, the government tax. Service sometimes has a real bitter taste. Try helping. Are you helping the Prabhus next to you? You better, because you might be dependent on them when your last breath is coming. Will they be inclined? Will they be grateful to you for all you did for them, where they will be happy to stay there for days or weeks in the final experience of illness, old age, and death? In Mayapur, we've seen it a lot, devotees surrendering and wanting to serve and help. Sometimes extended periods. I haven't heard lately, how's Murari Hari doing? The old brahmachari, broken hip. How's he doing? I don't really know. But I saw that some of the Spanish-speaking devotees were intent on assisting him. He's so fortunate. They probably got more of his mercy than I did, common language. But you get my point. You should expect to go back home to Godhead in this life. You ask a serious devotee, am I going to go back home to Godhead? I believe in the words of my spiritual master. You're dang right. He promised. If I fulfill my part of the bargain, he'll fulfill his. And we got such a good bargain. Such a good bargain. One life for eternal service to Krishna and his devotees. You got to be an idiot not to see the value of that. So yeah, this is very helpful. We're in Mayapur, the land of mercy, magnanimity. It's flying out. Take it. Chant and be happy. Give it to everybody else. Let them be happy. One last one, then I'm being allowed to go on Kripa. One Maharaj waited to let me go with him.
Hare Krishna. Thank you very much for a nice class. It's a question I'm going to ask on going back to Godhead. In the Bhagavad Gita, we hear the sloka, out of many thousands of people, hardly one endeavors, and out of many thousands of them, we know the sloka.
I gave English in class, yeah.
Okay. And then in the Bhagavatam, it mentions millions of people. And we hear the term that it's extremely rare for someone to go back to Godhead. Yet, we often hear within our movement that many devotees that leave their body, they go back to Godhead. We hear this term. So I wonder what is the proof that they actually go back to Godhead, so to speak, if you could speak a little on this.
What's the proof that they went back home to Godhead?
Because Krishna says it's extremely rare.
It's so rare. It's rare. In terms of rarity, how many living entities are in this world? We can only say how many species there are because of scripture. 8,400,000 species. Now, there are unlimited living entities. It's inconceivable for us in our tiny brain how many living entities are in the smallest of universes, this one. So for a devotee, a few devotees, for 10,000 years in Kali Yuga to get to go back home to Goloka Vrindavan, I mean, it's nothing. It's nothing. It's so rare. I mean, we cannot conceive of how many Kali Yugas we've been in. We've been through unlimited Kali Yugas. Lord Chaitanya only comes one Kali Yuga in a day of Rama, but he has 365 days a year and 100 years, etc. I mean, you know, it's rare. Now, how do I know they go back home to Godhead? I cannot say that I've seen Srila Prabhupada personally come with his devotee is leaving his body. I felt him. Everybody that was in Grahila Prabhu's room when he left his body, the kirtan, when Srila Prabhupada came, when the Lord came, it hit another dimension. It wasn't me leading kirtan, it was me, but it's not the Raj you see sitting here right now in this consciousness. It was divine. Hair standing on end, crying. I knew Srila Prabhupada was there. So I've seen devotees leave their body a number of times now. It's getting more and more frequent. And it's going to happen to you and I. I have full faith in the words of my spiritual master, and as you should also. No, that's why I speak these optimistic words. If somebody wants to tell you we got to do it on our own, we don't expect the honorary diploma. Don't think like that. We don't deserve it. But this is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement. He's intoxicated with the mood of Radharani, and he and the Panchatattva are just giving it away. He's just got to basically be in the right place at the right time. and not, you know, close your fingers. Prabhupada said, I'm trying to give my mercy to everyone, but the devotee asked, why am I giving so much mercy? He said, you're accepting it. So this Prabhu just brought up something. I don't know what it is, but if I take it in my hand, touch it to my head and accept it, it's mine. The mercy's there. By golly, I am mercy. So I know Prabhus are going back to Godhead. I was there when Srila Prabhupada left his body, and I had similar emotions and spiritual feelings. I'll call it spiritual because I don't know what else to call it. It's not mundane consciousness when I see Prabhus leaving.
May I ask, what are we to make of Bhaktivinoda Thakur's instructions in Sri Harinam Chintamani, where he mentions we have to perfect our service in the spiritual world through meditation while we're in this body? What are we to make of this instruction, so to speak? Are we to bypass this and just think mercy is coming anyway, regardless?
We can't. That's the mood of us cheating neophyte devotees. We want to throw it all out and take this process of the rare mercy of pure devotional service, the Radhan Krishna cheating. That's the tendency. I hope by my words and association, no one thinks that that's what I'm promoting, to take this rare, priceless gift cheaply. But if Srila Prabhupada takes us to the manifest Leela, and one says you haven't made it back to Godhead, this is Veda Veda, Chintya Veda Veda. It's in one of the material worlds, one of the dhams of the material world. And one can perfect their Krishna consciousness in that land. But in the absolute sense, there is no difference between the manifest Leela in the holy dham in the material world and Goloka Vrindavan in the spiritual world. There's no real difference in the absolute platform. So if we make it that far, yeah, we could blow it. The Brahmins who were performing yajnas, they didn't surrender and run to Krishna in the forest like their wives did. They may have had to take another birth in the manifest pastimes of Krishna to get it straight. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur says that happens sometimes. Several births in the manifest Leela before you get it. Some of us are really stubborn, but when the spiritual master, the pure devotee, has marked you and is determined to take you back to Godhead, you've got to really screw up with determined effort not to be the recipient. Take these comments of the Acharyas very seriously, but at the same time, hope against hope. I'm in the right place at the right time, and I'm so fortunate that this simple process is being given to me. Just grab it for all you can. Is that good enough? I want to thank you for your tolerance, your association, your patience. Srila Prabhupada ki, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ki, Gaur Bhakta Vrinda ki. Jai.